Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central.
This place is filling up already.
Live from the 35th Annual NHRA Spring Nationals in Houston at Houston Raceway Park, welcome to the In Wheel Time car talk show here on iHeartRadio. Coming up, driver guests from this final event here at the racetrack. We'll have our pre-owned car of the week, Jeff's under 10. That's under 10 grand. The 2009 Lexus. We don't know what kind of Lexus, but that's what it's going to be. Conrad will have the racing calendar. We'll also have the stories making automotive news headlines this week. Just ahead on this edition of the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show, presented today by Toyota Gazoo Racing North America. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. So glad that you could join us today. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And in the live and remote studio with us is Mr. Justin Ashley, Top Fuel dragster
driver of the Phillips Connect Vita C Shot.
All right.
Hey, it's good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting up to come and see us.
Sure, it's my pleasure, guys.
Well, it's really good, and congratulations to you. Qualified number two last night in the dead of the night, which is always a good thing. We're coming into a race event and getting to number two slot right off the bat.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you said it, and I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, when you come out here, last race at Houston Raceway Park, obviously you want to leave your mark the best that you can. And to be able to go out there Q1 and not only go A to B, but go in the 360s at over 330 miles per hour, that's what we were looking for last night.
And you got it. Who's your crew chief?
Mike Green.
Mike Green. He's got quite a track record.
He does, right? So for me as a younger driver, only my third professional season racing, to have a guy like Mike Green on board and have a guy like Tommy DeLago as his assistant is absolutely awesome, right? You said it. So for me to go in there after each and every run and just talk to them and learn and see what I can come out with, right, following each run is really a great experience.
So the three of you sitting there looking at all the computer rundowns of everything that happened and what you did and when you pulled the chute and how you left the line, all of that sort of stuff.
All that sort of stuff, except here's the difference, right? When I'm in there and they're looking at the chart, they know way more than I do. They're looking at the chart and telling me, here's what happened, X, Y, and Z at this point.
And are they pointing their finger at you?
They're pointing their finger. No, see, that's the great part about them. I'm sure that they could, but they don't. They take it easy on me.
See, we do that with Mike. We already point everything at Mike.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's his fault, everything here.
So when you're looking at all of this as a group, is there also input from your feeling sensation that they listen to as opposed to just the data that's in the computer?
Absolutely. You know, when I get back to the pit after each and every run, that's really the first thing Michael asked me. How'd it feel? What'd you feel? Mm-hmm. So I can tell him, all right, at 60 feet, I felt this, or at 330 feet, I felt that. So I think that's integral. That's really important, is that communication between crew chief and driver at certain points down the racetrack. So we can go back and not only look at the data that's on the chart, but also how it felt from a driver's perspective.
Yeah, going 330 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds, and you can separate in your mind 60 feet, 330, all of that. I don't know that I could separate that in my head.
Well, I know. I couldn't at this age, for sure.
Those sensations as you progress down the track.
Yeah, truly amazing. So how has the season gone so far?
Well, it's been really good. Obviously, we kicked off the season really well by winning the NHRA Winter Nationals, and that was a special race, not only because it was the first race of the year, but it was the first race for Toyota Gazoo Racing North America. So we were able to kick it off and get their first win, which was great, and it's just it's awesome to be associated with Toyota. And then you fast forward a few races later, and we're sitting fourth in the points. It's been a little bit up and down so far, but we're sitting in a really nice position. Mike Green, Tommy DeLago, and the entire team have done a fantastic job. I always tell people the same thing. I'm just along for the ride. And I'll tell you what, it's a fun ride, and we're doing a good job so far.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but you still got to stab the throttle at the right time.
I do. That I do. And that's an important piece of it, obviously. But, you know, the car's been consistently running super fast and performing at a really high and elite level. So we feel like going into each and every race, we have a good opportunity to win, and that's the best way to approach each event.
What happens when you have a cylinder go out in the middle of the run?
It's no fun.
Yeah? Can you feel it?
You can feel it. So sometimes you'll feel it more than most. It really depends on where it happens down the track. So sometimes if you feel it a little bit later down the track past the 660, as opposed to where you might feel it as soon as you hit the throttle. It might feel a little bit different, but generally you'll feel it. So depending on where it goes out on the left side, it might pull you over to the left. On the right side, it might pull you over to the right. So generally it's something you'll feel.
But in a top fuel dragster, it's not quite as apparent as it is in a funny car.
Oh, yeah. In a funny car, it'll get your attention really, really quickly.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, generally you feel it in a top fuel car, but in a funny car, it's a totally different sensation.
What is your background? Where did you start? What did you start driving?
So I started in junior dragsters when I was 11 years old.
Yeah,
so believe it or not, I'm the same height now as I was when I was 11. But I weighed a little bit less. So my father raced Pro Modified and Funny Car for many years. So we took the junior kind of everywhere that he went. So after, you know, these NHRA events, when they'd be testing on Monday, I'd be like, come on, let's break out the junior. Let's run it that day and just make as many laps as we can. So I started with junior dragsters, and then I did some bracket racing with a guy named Barry Brown in Top Dragster. Spent some time doing that, kind of learning the ropes and understanding racing from that perspective. And then I raced in Top Alcohol Dragster. And then from there, it was the transition into Top Fuel.
Really? So it happened pretty quick.
It did. So, I mean, you know, you started when you were in juniors, but then once I went to Top Dragster, Top Alcohol Dragster, and then Top Fuel, that process happened kind of quick. And there's really nothing that can prepare you for 11,000 horsepower, right, in that blower that's behind you. But nonetheless, if there's any positive transition, it's Top Alcohol Dragster.
Is your dad still doing it?
He's not. He's but he feels like he is, because he's out here with me, supporting me, and every time I make a run down the track, he feels like he kind of made it with me, which
so
is nice. Looking
over your shoulder as you guys are dissecting the data? Yeah.
No, it's good, actually, believe it or not, because he's laid back, and I'm the one who go to him and say, hey, what do you think about this, this? He's like, just relax.
Calm down.
Take it easy, Justin. Relax. Stop thinking so much. Yeah. So it's good to have his guidance.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's 28 years old. Amazing. Amazing at what she does. She's a teacher. Zero interest in racing. Zero.
Does that surprise you?
That's why I say she's amazing.
Not at all. Listen, she's amazing. Right, exactly. No, not at all. Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to the rest of the season?
Just going out here and competing, right? I mean, we have a great group of sponsors, and we want to come out each and every event and not only build upon the success we have on the track, but the success we found off the track too. So that's a big part of what we do. Obviously, racing is racing, and being out there on the track and winning races is important. We always look forward to that, but the business aspect of it is just as, if not more important. So just kind of looking forward to collectively going out there as a team and doing the very best we can each and every event.
You know, I did marketing and PR for a Top Fuel team way back in the dark ages in 2006. The travel killed me. I remember three or four races in, I'd wake up in a cheap motel somewhere going, where am I?
Right.
I don't even know where I am. Do you ever experience that?
Well, I have to ask you, was that because you went out the night before?
No.
Or
no.
Just because you're traveling so much?
Yeah, but see, he still wakes up in cheap hotels.
Say the same thing.
I didn't want to go there.
I just wanted to be more specific on that so we can clarify.
That's perfect.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. But as you know, a marketing and PR guy does not go out and party the night before when you got to get up and do interviews radio and television 8 o'clock the next morning.
Well, let me tell you something. If I can be in bed by 8, I'm in bed by 8, period.
Yeah.
So I can come
out
here and do it. And, you know, because we're here to race, right, not focused on anything else. But it's funny because when you start to race so much, like you said, you kind of get lost. Like, oh, where are we going this weekend? Where are we going that?
Yeah.
You don't even realize that you get so caught up in what goes on. But one thing I don't forget is that I get to come here and race. That much I can tell you, that I remember.
Yeah. So in the pits, during race day, what are your duties?
So obviously, aside from driving the car, I mix the fuel for the team. So the way these Top Fuel cars run is they run on two different types of fuel. They run on alcohol and nitromethane. So you can run up to 90% nitromethane and 10% alcohol. So a large part of what they do in the pit area is I mix that fuel to get it to the correct ratio depending on the conditions and the tune-up and all the other variables that go into it.
So you can pull the alcohol out a little bit, but you can't do any more than the 90-10.
Right, exactly. So that's the max. You can only run the maximum of 90% nitro.
Yeah, and they do check it, dude. They
will. So it's tricky. They always check it, but you don't know when they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So it could be here, it could be there, but obviously you want to leave enough room where you don't take any chances.
And based on the way Green and DeLago are tuning the car, they're going to give you a percentage that you might want to hit. Because is it always 90, or will you kind of play around with that depending on conditions?
No, it really changes race to race. It could change in race depending on if there's a significant change in the weather. But, I mean, for the most part, it'll stay the same throughout each race, but it changes quite a bit.
It does. And it depends on the weather, the atmospheric conditions, sea level. Yep. All of those things play a part. Now, who is it that tells you how to mix it?
So Mike Green and Tommy DeLagro tell me what they want the percentage to be. And then this process started in 2019 when I started racing Top Fuel. I had a guy on the crew who said, here, you know, this is part of your role, responsibility. Here's how you do it. So I was able to kind of take his process and kind of refine it to what works best for me. Mm-hmm. The way that I feel is the fastest and the most efficient way for the team, because, you know, sometimes we have quick turnaround times and it's what I do is nothing, right? Mix the fuel compared to what they do on the car. But nonetheless, we want to be as efficient as possible when we do it.
But you also know about the engine and all of the components of a Top Fuel engine, how it all works and everything. You know how to pack a chute. You know how to probably change a tire or two. I would imagine you've done that at some point in your career. I mean, there's more experience than most people think that you just walk out there looking pretty, put your helmet on, and go hit the gas.
Right. I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into it, right? I think that, you know, the more you know from the mechanical side, the better. You don't necessarily have to know everything. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not the most mechanically inclined. I believe in, you know, specialized knowledge. So it's my job to know how to mix the fuel and drive the car. But also a big part of it is the marketing side of things too, being a good representative for your sponsors and for your team, and you know, all that, and how much you actually know about the car helps you with what you feel in the car and how you can communicate that to your team and the crew chief. So a lot actually does go into it.
Yeah. And what's it like sitting in the seat of that car? That seat's made for you.
It is. It is. Every time I get in the seat, it's fun, right? That much I can tell you. But yeah, I mean, it's a process. Really, it is. So before each and every season, like, we got a new car this year, so I had to fly down to Indy, and we molded a seat particularly to fit me. You know, it's something that's good for the driver, because when you're out here racing 20-plus times a year, as a driver, you want to feel comfortable. Just like the crew chiefs, we want to eliminate as many variables as possible, and that's one of them. So they actually mold the seat to fit your particular body and your fire suit and your equipment. So.
And there's also a safety aspect to having the seat molded correctly for you, as far as compacting you in that space that you're in to keep you there if something goes awry.
Oh, absolutely. That's huge. Like, for example, we added panels to the sides of the race car this year, so there's no crossover between your legs if, God forbid, anything like that happens. Okay. So that and the way your seat is molded and how well it fits you all plays a big role in safety. And I have to say, Mike Green and Tommy DeLago, they always put safety first, which is really, really important. It makes you feel really comfortable as a driver.
Well, at the level of what you do, that's very important, yeah.
Yeah,
how absolutely. Many sets of tires do you go through in a weekend?
It depends, right? We might go through two or three sets, but it really depends on what happens out there on the racetrack, and obviously we don't want to go through too many.
Right. And what is it that gets you to change a tire other than it's getting a little thin?
Right.
You let too much smoke out of it.
So, right. I mean, look, it could depend on the circumference of the tire and the conditions and all that stuff. But also, you go out there and, you know, you could smoke the tires, shake the tires, something where you come back and you look at the tires and they don't look like they looked before. Right. Or sometimes you just go down the racetrack and you pull the chutes at the top end and all of a sudden you hit some rocks and there's some bumps in the tires that weren't there before.
This track is prepared well, in my understanding. Are there tracks around the country, around the circuit, that maybe, you know, get a little hinky and you got to really maybe focus more on the tire?
Yeah, I mean, Houston does a great job. They really do. I think there's certain tracks that may have some bumps in them in particular, and other tracks that are prepped excellent, right? It's just something that we know kind of going to each and every track. Each of them kind of have their own little nuances
quirks,
to them.
Yeah.
They all have their own quirks, but, you know, that's something that's part of the communication we talked about before mm-hmm. is, you know, when you come back and say, hey, I felt this bump at 700 feet.
And is that also part of, I don't know what you actually call it, but your data book? Mm-hmm. So in your data book, you know, at certain atmospheric conditions in Houston, Tommy and Mike, they know this is the tune we want, and then they'll kind of play around with that. Do you also make some judgment notes about track conditions and all the rest of that as well?
Yeah, everything plays a role, right? And the good news is they have a logbook where they can go back years. Obviously, right. You don't want to go back too far, but when you're able to go back and have that much data and information to go back and say, okay, this is what we ran 2 years ago, the conditions are similar at this racetrack in this lane. Here's what we do. And that is excellent. You kind of need that logbook of data and information to put your team in the best position to be able to go out there and make a good run.
So everything changes. If you do it by the book and something happens, scratch that.
Redo
the book.
It's a starting point. And sometimes, you know, you're in certain situations where you go out there. Let's say you smoke the tires and you put too much power to the racetrack. You learn from it, right? You say, okay, I know, okay, I can't go this far next time. right? So you know how far you can actually go.
Yeah.
So
you push it.
And you're always trying
it.
To be right on the edge of how far you can go, because that's where the speed, that's where the time and the speed comes
right. from. And that's the tricky part with these cars. You know, I have a lot of people say to me sometimes, well, why don't you just be conservative, go A to B? But if you're too conservative, then you're going to shake the tires and you won't make it down either. Right. But if you put too much power, then you're going to smoke the tires and you won't make it down. So you have to find that fine balance in between, and I am glad I don't have that job to be able to make that decision. That much I can tell you.
Yeah, let me ask you this, kind of back up here a little bit. I mean, you're a young guy. You're a lot younger than us. But from the time that you sit there and you're sitting there, the lights come down, you get the green, you pull the trigger, that 600-foot mark, how long does it take you to get there?
It takes under 3 seconds to be able to get there.
So in that 3 seconds, you're driving the car, you're launching the car, you're recognizing that you're at that 600-foot mark.
Right.
That amazes me that you can do that in 3 seconds, because everything, you got your hands, your hands are full, your feet are full doing stuff, and your mind is registering all that. I find that amazing.
Yeah, I mean, really, it is unbelievable. And, you know, you go through, and some of those good times are, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing when you see a 2-point however many seconds, right? And a lot ends up going through your mind. You know, when I first started and I raced Top Fuel, the first time I got my license actually was in Antron Brown's car. And I'll tell you right now, I left, I hit the chutes, and to this day, I have no idea what happened. I could not tell you what happened. But all of a sudden, those 3.7 seconds turn into 23.7 seconds. For whatever reason in your mind, football, baseball, basketball, it's the same in any other sport. It just naturally starts to slow down. So as you're going down the track, you feel certain things, and then you go back and remember, oh, I felt this at that point in the track.
So Nitro qualifying starts at 2 o'clock this afternoon. That's when it's scheduled. A lot is going to be changing from last night's qualifying to this afternoon's qualifying. We got heat. We got humidity, sunshine on the track. Are there a lot of changes that take place in the pit before you guys roll it out there this afternoon at 2 o'clock? A lot of changes from last night to today?
Oh, quite a bit. There'll be a ton of changes. Last night we knew going in for our Phillips Connect Toyota Top Fuel Dragster powered by Vita C-Shot, that was the run to be able to go out there and lay it down. You know, that's kind of what we expected. Obviously, we're in Houston. Anything could happen, and there could be a major change in the weather pattern. But just going into today, we expect it to be a lot more humid, a lot hotter out based on the times that we're running. So I think it's really going to be about going A to B, going down the racetrack, and how fast we can actually run today. But I think it's going to be a little bit slower today. So you'll definitely see some changes, really, that started last night at the end of our session into today before we actually go back up there again, just to make sure it gets down the track.
So is your preparation from when you pull the car out of the away from the truck coming around to the staging line, is your preparation for yourself the same each time? Do you have a patterned sequence of things that you do until they pull you up to the line?
Yes and no. I mean, for me, I try and keep things relatively loose. I find that as a driver, when I get tight and start to think too much, it's probably not good, right? You just got to keep it simple. And for me, a lot of it's just kind of hanging out in the tow vehicle or kind of socializing in the staging lanes before you get in there and drive.
Do you have any superstitions?
Not, so I used to be really superstitious, and then I decided this is just kind of silliness. So I decided, you know what, let me get away from this and just focus on driving. This is kind of nonsense.
Gotcha.
So not very superstitious, but I am very routine-oriented in the sense that I like to get to the track every, you know, at the same time each and every race and make sure that I'm prepared far in advance. That routine part of it is more important to me than the actual superstition part.
It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by and getting up early to come and see us, because I know that you typically probably don't get to the track this early. But
no, but that's – listen, I knew who I was going to come out and see today.
That's it.
How could I turn it down? And I heard it was presented by Toyota Gazoo Racing North America. How could I turn this down?
You can't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great opportunity.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you.
It's like you will be there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. It's great to see you. Good luck
today. Best of luck today.
We appreciate you.
Good to see you guys.
Hey, thank you for joining us here on the In Wheel Time program. We are broadcasting in everything that you could possibly broadcast in, on and around and through. You know, we've joined the iHeart family, so you can always pick us up on your iHeart app, on your phone, and at home on iHeartRadio.com. All right, time now for the racing calendar, and we know what the racing calendar is here.
There's only one calendar, and that's come to Baytown today and tomorrow and enjoy the Spring Nationals.
And for the last time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good event. Come and watch the folks from Toyota Gazoo Racing North America in the crowd. But other stuff is going on in Talladega's today for Xfinity and tomorrow for the Cup guys, and then they go to Dover and Darlington and Kansas. Next weekend, and this is still on the schedule, that's Formula One in Miami.
Jeff, come on, Jeff. We're going to twist that arm, and we're going to get him to like Formula One.
And then Laguna IMSA's at Laguna Seca next weekend on May the 1st, and then they're at Mid-Ohio May the 15th. IndyCar is in Birmingham on May the 1st. They're on May the 14th. They're at the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, where they run the old Formula One track. And then, of course, they run a road course at Indy on May the 14th. It's the old F1 track, so they kind of drive around the course backwards, so to speak, on a road course that was made years and years ago. And then, of course, May the 29th, the Indy 500. And then Gulf Coast Racing Series here in Houston, July the 2nd, July the 6th, and September the 10th. So get out there and support them.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Time now for our pre-owned car of the week. Pre-owned. Jeff always does this for us. And right now we're working on an under 10 series. In other words, cars that you can buy for under 10 grand. And I was kind of surprised at this one.
Yeah, that really surprises me.
Well, the low end on this one is, we're going to talk about it right off the bat, is 9,800.
All right.
5 to 9,800.
But with what you got is you can get them up into the 16 range. But so far as the exterior.
Well, it's a 2009 Lexus, and it's an RX.
Right.
Okay.
So, but there's different versions of the RX at 350, 400, so on and so on. This one, obviously, it's rolling. You got it.
Go. Talk.
You got basically the exterior stuff. You got the sunroof, heated mirrors, luggage rack. You've got the privacy glass, rear spoiler. Keyless entry, power locks, power mirrors, power windows. That's all the fashionable stuff that every car has. Nowadays, you're looking under, on the interior side, you've got the three-row seats. You can get a two-row, three-row, leather seating, which is standard, heated front seats, optional multi-zone AC, leather steering wheel, cruise control. Floor mats, of course, are available, front reading lamps, and so on. Now, the power plant to this, you can actually have two. You can get the V6, which is the $9,800 version of this, or you can get the V8, which is up into the 13, 14, 15 range.
You can get a V8 in that thing?
You can get a V8 in it.
Wow. So it's a 3.5-liter V6, 270 horsepower at 6,200 RPM, 251 foot-pounds of torque at 4,700. You're looking at an 18 city, 23 highway with an average, and depending on the average, some people are getting 21, some are getting 19, depending on the foot might be put into it on your acceleration. So, transmission is a 5-speed
on-ramp
acceleration. It's a 5-speed automatic transmission. You get premium sounds. It's a good little vehicle. The only drawback that I have with it are the rear taillights. I just don't like the rear taillights, the clear ones. I'd rather see a red lens than the clear ones.
But that's a personal preference.
It is. It's a personal preference.
You,
but
you just get all.
Well, I'm still surprised that you're looking at a Lexus RX sub 10,000.
Well, remember, it's a 2009.
It's 13 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But it's the whole value.
But, you know, that particular car, it's one of those kind of things that you can find them out there where an older person may have had that car and maybe have only 35, 40,000 miles on it. I have to tell you, and I've said this on the show before, my favorite car of all time that I purchased for my then wife.
Which one was that? One, two, or three?
Then, that one, then.
Shut up.
It's a nice car.
At any rate, I bought her.
The car was nicer than the wife, apparently.
I'm not even going to go there. But I will say this, that it was a very nice vehicle, and I still have very fond thoughts of that car. It was an RX 300. It was one of the first models out, and it was the coach leather edition.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, the leather in that thing was awesome. It had a little V6 in it, not terribly powerful, but enough for the car. It was a great vehicle. And personally, I fell in love with the darn thing. So just thought I'd mention that.
So, that like the other woman?
You know, I'm going to say, I'm just waiting for you to say
I
something.
I didn't say anything.
I was waiting on Conrad to say it. He didn't say it.
I was going to leave it alone. I already stepped in his stew the first time.
Yeah, no, that was at 6 o'clock this morning.
You better wear your shoes off on that one.
Well, yeah. So we're trying to set this broadcast up. And Conrad, do this, do that, do this. And I told him, I said,
where were you yesterday?
Yeah, where were you? I actually said that. Where were you?
I was in Beaumont.
Beaumont, that's a perfect place for you.
Yeah. But I wasn't
in that right,
I wasn't in Peterville or Groves.
Careful, there's two of us here today.
I have to go to Groves on Monday.
Well, we're in Cove.
No, this is considered Cove?
This is Cove.
Okay.
Yeah, Cove Volunteer Fire Department services this area.
Oh, good for them. Thank you, Fire Department.
So if you didn't know where the Houston Raceway Park is located, obviously everybody that is here today
found it.
They found it. And it's right off of I-10 and 99. Now, a lot of people say, well, I came in off of 146. Okay,
good.
That's the old way.
Perfect.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can come here to this track that way as well. But I do 99 because there's no stoplights on that.
And there's no crane to get caught by if you come around the other way.
That's right.
And I remember coming out here when it first opened up, and
me too.
146 was the only, 146 was the only way in.
Correct.
It was a long parking lot
hours.
For a long, long
time. But you see, you don't have to do that because if you get up in time and you get out here early enough, then you don't have to fight all of that. It's all in the timing, my
friend. It's like going to the airport.
Oh, have you been to the airport lately?
No, I don't want to.
What a train wreck that all that construction is out there.
You know, I think every interchange in the entire city of Houston and surrounding area is under construction.
Yeah, you can't get
how's
it.
It has been for 30 years.
How is it going in I-10 over to Beaumont, Mike?
I couldn't tell you because I don't use I-10. I go around it over there in that little section.
See, he makes a right at Winnie.
I thought about you this morning.
I want to remind everybody that the In Wheel Time Car Show streams on iHeartRadio, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and InWheelTime.com. And podcasts are available, 30-minute podcasts, on your favorite podcast channel. And I also want to remind you that the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Father's Day weekend, Saturday, June 18th, 2022. It's the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, and you're invited. Tailpipes and Tacos Father's Day edition will be at the same Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 18th. It's the only place cruisers compete for trophies and other prizes. Enter your vehicle for best hot rod, best classic, and best modern classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest cruise-in and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods, and get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos and adult beverages. There's no entry fee, and cars will automatically compete for custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It all happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Kick off summer with Tailpipes and Tacos Father's Day edition, Saturday, June 18th. The In Real Time Car Talk Show will be there too. Celebrate Father's Day, the start of summer, and the return of Tailpipes and Tacos, Saturday morning, June 18th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Tony Stewart Racing joins the NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series, and his drivers, Leah Pruitt and Matt Hagen, will face off against NHRA stars, including the legendary John Force Racing Team. Don't miss this battle of horsepower and performance. It's the final NHRA Spring Nationals event at Houston Raceway Park. Don't miss it this weekend. This is your last chance for Nitro action in Baytown. Tickets at HoustonRaceway.com.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is now part of the iHeart family. Now you'll have access to 24/7 car talk anytime you need a fix. Just download the iHeart Radio app and ask for In Wheel Time Car Talk, and there we are. Be sure to save us in your iHeart library for instant access. No matter where you are, you have the best car talk show right on your PC, laptop, or mobile device, and never have to worry about finding us again. Of course, you can always get access to our video and audio streams via InWheelTime.com and your favorite podcast channel, and all of this is free to you. From the iHeart Radio app, you'll not only hear our Saturday morning live show, but the best shows of the past, updated weekly. Never miss a minute of up-to-date new car reviews, pre-owned reviews, Conrad's Car Clinic, informative interviews, automotive news, and the most fun car talk show on the planet. Just download the iHeart Radio app, search for In Real Time Car Talk, save it to your library, and with a tap of the icon, you'll be in touch with your favorite car talk team. In Real Time Car Talk, streaming now on iHeart.com/InWheelTimeCarTalk. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website.
Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartPodcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.